Mindfulness and noting. Question. What does it mean to note something? What is the thing that you are noting? What is the difference between noting and being mindful, if there is any, or the relationship between them? Answer. The word mindfulness is an imperfect translation of the word sati. Sati is the state of mind that rightly grasps the object in such a way that it can be seen clearly. Sati can also be used in a conventional sense as the ability to remember things that happened a long time ago. In meditation, it means the ability to remember the present moment. It means not being distracted by or dwelling in abstract thought. Abstract thought is not evil or bad, but it is not mindful. In our everyday activities, we have to rely on abstract concepts. Many of our ordinary activities will be difficult to perform mindfully because being mindful means only being aware of the moments of experience. It is hard to maintain a stream of conceptual thought when you are mindful. Likewise, when we dwell in abstract thought, we are generally unmindful of reality. For example, you are probably sitting while reading this, but you likely have no awareness of that fact while reading. When you are caught up in abstract thought, you quickly forget that you are sitting. But when you read, "Did you know that you are sitting?" suddenly, you are reminded that you are sitting. I think this is why the Buddha chose the word sati to describe meditation not just as a state, but as an activity, remembering. Sati is what leads to seeing clearly. And the act of cultivating sati is this activity of reminding yourself of your experiential reality. Abstract thought is useful for cultivating right view. Abstraction is the basis of language. So for someone else to remind us of something, they need to use words that describe abstract concepts. Words themselves are also concepts. The word sati does not mean anything. It is just a sound. Its meaning is only conceptual, based on how our minds interpret the sound. We know what sati refers to, and based on our faculties of memory and recognition, we associate that word with a certain mind state. The mind state described by sati is real. Mindfulness is real, but the word mindfulness is just a concept. When I say mindfulness, it evokes a perception of certain real mind states that are useful and not abstract. You may find this teaching useful. Teaching is a useful abstraction that can change the way you look at things and allow you to see reality in a different way. But it will never be a replacement for the experience of reality for yourself. It will never be enough. You could listen to all of my talks and it would never be enough, unless you transform the teachings into actual practice that allows you to cultivate the realities described by the teachings. This is where noting comes in. Noting is a sort of gateway between the teaching and the mind states. Noting simply means saying a word to yourself that has a connection to the reality you are experiencing at that moment. When you engage in this practice of saying something to yourself, this is what we call mantra meditation. Mantra meditation is very old. It was around before the Buddha himself and is widespread and broadly recognized today by many religious, spiritual, and even secular practices as an effective tool because it is the simplest means of focusing the mind in a specific way on a specific object. It is similar to how we use words to express emotion. If I yell at someone and say, "You hurt me," it focuses my mind on the anger and self-righteous indignation I feel in that moment, augmenting those mind states. Words are quite powerful. They have the effect of augmenting our mental states and emotions, often to our detriment. We speak words in response to many of our experiences in ordinary life. When you like something, you may say to yourself, "This is great," which reinforces your attachment to that thing. Mantras make use of this process by which words evoke specific states of mind. Self-help gurus often suggest mantras that help their followers create specific states of mind, stimulating the mind in a particular way. It is not common for someone to intentionally practice with a mantra that stimulates unwholesome qualities, like greed or anger, but we often use words that evoke unwholesome mind states unknowingly, This is why meditation can be dangerous. Quite conceivably, you could create a meditation practice that would make you more angry, more greedy, or more deluded. Mantras that stimulate delusion may be the most common, as religious teachings that have wrong views often involve teachings, sayings, mottos, and even mantras that support delusion. A good meditation may be used to evoke positive emotions. One example that should come to mind for many people is metta, or friendliness meditation, where we use the mantra, "May I be happy, may all beings be happy." The words themselves are not wholesome, but they have the potential to evoke wholesome emotive states like friendliness, compassion, and kindness. Other wholesome meditations are designed to cultivate not emotions, but certain other qualities of mind like focus or clarity. Kasina meditation is a good example. Kasina means totality. A kasina is an object that you use to create a sense of totality, where your whole world is just one thing, like a color, for example. You may start by focusing on a circle of white, and you would just repeat to yourself, white, white, white. The mantra helps evoke a single-pointed attention on the color. White is not anything special, but because it is a simple concept and very singular, focusing on it allows for the cultivation of focused attention. Repeating white is not likely to make you angry, greedy, or deluded. It is not going to evoke bad things. Such practice has the potential to help you create very powerful and pure states of mind. Eventually, if you practice such meditation, all you will see, even when you close your eyes, is white. The benefit is this very strong, concentrated awareness. With mindfulness meditation, the purpose of the mantra is to help our minds focus on reality rather than on a concept. We use abstraction, noting, to bring the mind back to reality. It is a unique form of meditation. It may share technical similarities to other types of meditation, but it is unique in application because rather than focusing your attention on another abstraction, the object of the mantra is real or experiential. The word real can mean different things, but experiential means it is a part of experience, which is the essence of ultimate reality in Buddhism. When you say to yourself, seeing, seeing, it helps focus your mind on the experience so you remember simply that you are seeing at that moment. There is this awareness and presence that is objective, unlike our ordinary experience of things, which is steeped in judgment and subjectivity. Ordinarily, we recognize that an object has brought us pleasure in the past, so we like and conceive of it as positive, or we associate it with a past suffering and dislike it, or we associate it with some view, conceit, or arrogance, and delusion arises. We might look in the mirror and see ourselves and think, "I am so handsome," or "I am so ugly," and conceit arises, or some view of self like, "This is me, this is mine, this is what I am." This practice of reminding yourself of the simple nature of each experience has the potential to remove all of those habits of greed, anger, and delusion. It evokes objective states in our minds. Without mindfulness, we respond to experiences with thoughts of, "This is bad, this is good, this is me, this is mine." But with the mindfulness practice, you say, "This is this," i.e., seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing, thinking is thinking. This is explicitly what the Buddha taught. What you can read about him teaching time and again. We have shelves of the Buddha's teaching, but this very basic teaching is so simple and so ordinary that it often gets overlooked. What is Buddhism? Buddhism is about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, thinking. We are made up of the five aggregates, and they arise at the moment of experience of any of the six senses. Mindfulness is simply the practice of purifying our perception of these moments of experience so our reactions are in line with reality rather than partiality or delusion. It is important not to confuse the act of noting with the states of mind that it evokes. Mindfulness is a tool. It is an artificial tool used to bring the mind closer to reality and become more objective about the reality or the experience. Mindfulness, or noting, is not the objectivity or awareness. Noting is the tool that you must use to evoke certain mind states. If you are anxious and you know that anxiety is composed of different physical and mental states, you can still just say, anxious, anxious. The idea is to help you experience reality with a clear mind. The mantra is not some kind of pill that you swallow or a magical wand that you wave to change reality. You do not have to apply the technique to every little thing you experience. With anxiety, for example, the whole experience is anxiety, but some aspects of it are physical and some are mental. The butterflies that you feel in your stomach, the heart beating quickly, and the tension in your shoulders can all be noted individually, which will help you experience them without reaction or judgment. By simply saying to yourself when you are tense in the shoulders, tense, tense, or when you feel there are butterflies in your stomach because you are anxious, saying, feeling, feeling. The experience does not necessarily go away, but it also does not lead to more anxiety. You will see that the practice of noting evokes states of neutrality and objectivity that are not reactive. Some states, like anxiety, grow. With anxiety, you start with a thought. For example, I might think, there are 50 people now listening to me talk here. And that thought may evoke certain states of anxiety in the mind, which in turn create feelings in the body. Those feelings in the body may then make me more anxious. Then I may think, oh, I am anxious. And the feelings and mind states bounce back and forth like this. The physical states lead to more anxiety. More anxiety leads to stronger physical reactions, creating a feedback loop wherein anxiety becomes stronger and stronger until it can even lead to a full-blown panic attack. In each moment of anxiety, there is a process occurring. First, there is an experience. Then there is conceiving about that experience. And finally, there is the reaction based on one's conceptions of the experience. This process can be broken by simply changing one's conception of the experience. Rather than conceiving of the experience as, I am anxious, this is a problem, you change the conception to just, this is anxiety, or the physical, this is feeling, by using mantras like anxious or feeling to remind yourself of the objective nature of the experience, an act which evokes very different states of mind from ordinary conception. The mantra is not magic. It is not in and of itself mindfulness, but if used consistently, and with proper attention, it can evoke states of objectivity and mindfulness that break away from the conceptual process that leads to building up of things like anxiety. Conceptualization can be useful, and the mantra is a useful conceptualization that helps us direct our attention to the object of our experience. In other types of meditation, a mantra is used to direct one's attention to concepts like white. In mindfulness, the object is not concepts, but experiential reality. This is an important difference because reality has certain qualities that are not present in concepts. Firstly, impermanence. Whereas we perceive conceptual objects to be stable in our imagination, experiences arise and cease from moment to moment. Because concepts rely on experiences to arise, our lack of familiarity with the impermanence of reality leads to disappointment when the conceptual things we come to expect cannot be produced on a whim. Through observing experiences directly, we become familiar with the chaotic nature of reality, and the whole idea of expectation becomes absurd. We cannot know what the future will bring, and forming expectations in our minds becomes a habit that can only lead to eventual disappointment. There is no benefit to expecting. What does it mean to say, I want things to be this way? All it means is you are cultivating a habit of desire. It does not have any bearing on how things are going to be. Secondly, mindfulness of experiences provides understanding of suffering. When you try to fix or control your conceptual reality, you become stressed and are susceptible to disappointment. Even if you are able occasionally to get whatever you want, you then just wanted more. By keeping the mind present and engaged with your actual experiences, you see this stress and attachment for what it is, realizing that reality admits of no satisfaction for those who cling to concepts or experiences, as they are unpredictable and uncontrollable. Thirdly, mindfulness shows you non-self, that the conceptual entities we evoke in our minds are merely illusions formed of perception, recognition, and memory. Through mindful observation of experiences, you see that momentary experiences underlie all things. They have no substance beyond our imagination and the experiences that trigger it. As a result of this clarity of vision, we no longer obsess about controlling the world around us or cling to things as me or mine. We see that this clinging to illusions leads only to suffering. Our lack of familiarity with these fundamental aspects of nature leads us to conceive of experiences as entities, and those entities as bringing us pleasure or pain, which causes us to react positively or negatively towards them. Through mindfulness, we start to see experiences just as experiences. Noting is simply a tool to help evoke a state of mindfulness. When practicing noting meditation, it is important not to worry too much about the details, like whether you are noting everything, or noting the correct thing, or noting something correctly. You do not have to note everything. You do not have to worry about being perfectly correct. We note sitting, for example, even though it is not the concept of sitting we are focused on. The noting of sitting focuses your attention on the experience of sitting, the pressure on your bottom, the tension in your back and in your legs, and so on, which is absolutely real. Saying to yourself, sitting, evokes this objective awareness of the experience. Saying, sitting, is not saying, this is good, or this is bad. It is an objective thing to say so, even though it is conceptual, and the sitting itself is conceptual. The mantra helps you focus on reality. Anyone who is critical of this should read what the Buddha himself said. When sitting, know clearly to yourself, I am sitting. Most important is that mantra meditation or noting meditation, or whatever you call it, is a concrete, easily accessible practice that almost anyone can undertake. Right here and now, you can use it to become objectively aware of your own experiences as they truly are. Noting is a very useful tool, but do not let the tool become the object. Do not focus on the noting, thinking, is it working? Why is it not working? Why do I say pain, and the pain does not go away? I expect results. Why am I not getting them? You are not getting good results because of expectation. The mantra is just a tool. The consequent mindfulness is what does the work to free us from suffering.